session number 24833, Reel 3.
Edgington Reel 3. So was there a celebration in Welford?
Oh yes, we had a big celebration, yes, a big party around the Maypole.
Really?
Yeah, oh yes, big dancing and music and everything, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was very good.
How are you treated? Did they treat you as a returning hero?
Oh yes, more or less, yes. Mm. Oh yes, they really did, yes. Yeah. They were very
the
good too.
Wanted to dance with you?
Right? Some of them, yeah. I wasn't a very good dancer, actually. Yeah. It wasn't one of my strong points. But, yes, it was... Then I went back and rejoined the division and the battalion. And
So what were they doing when you got back to them?
Well, they were just loafing about, really. I suppose having a good rest.
Whereabouts?
It was a little village. I can't remember the name. It's not far from a town called Schwerin. It was in the eastern zone where the Russians eventually took over.
Oh, right.
And we moved to Schwerin then. That was very nice.
What were your duties there? Did you have any sort of policing type duties to do?
Not really. We were fraternising with the gym because we weren't allowed to fraternise with the girls, but of course we did. Being with that female company for so long, and they'd got no men there anyway, only old men and cripples. And so we seemed to get on very well together. And we stayed there for about a month. And there was a factory there that made pyjamas, so we each got two pair of pyjamas, which we hadn't had for a long time. And then we moved to a place called Rittmershausen, a village not far from the university town of Göttingen. And because the Russians had taken over were taken over Schwerin then and all that part of the Germany.
Did you have any contact with Russian soldiers?
No. No, not then we didn't. Mm. I did later on.
Right.
We moved to Rittmershausen. Mm-hmm. And stationed in a school there. It's our company. And each company was stationed. The Russians had got the border between no man's land between us and the Russians then. Mm. And we did duties then up the on the border.
Yeah.
On our side and the Russians on their side. And we had quite a good time there really. We had a nice sports field as well, and of course where football started. Mm. I was captain of the company football team. I played for the battalion as well and ran for the company and battalion.
Yeah.
And the division, yeah. And so my life really for the last 2 years of my army service was spent playing sport, more or less. It was most enjoyable. I know I was put on the divisional headquarter guards at Brunswick. We had to do training for that. And we all had new uniforms. New shoes, boots and everything. Mm. And we were training up in the woods in Göttingen with the RSM. And I handed him a note. And Edgington, I've never been like it. You're supposed to be on guard at Brunswick. You're going to run for the division at Brunswick instead of being on duty at guard. Oh, that's very good, Sergeant Major. He said, not very good for me, so I've got to train somebody else now. So I didn't go on that guard at all. Mm. I spent most of my life then. And then I must admit, I met a German girl and we got married. She was an interpreter, actually.
Mm.
And we had two daughters. And I've got two grandchildren, twins.
Oh, wonderful.
They're only 11 years old. They came a bit late in my life, actually.
Yeah.
And we got divorced after 30 years.
Right.
And I've been on my own ever since.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of people marry or get engaged.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. So I stayed in the army a year longer than I need have done. Should have been demobbed in 46.
Right.
But I wanted to get married without going through the army.
Yes.
I wanted to get on my own bat, so I stayed on for another year.
Yeah.
And then I came back as a painting decorator. Mm. Back to my old firm. Mm.
So when you were, during the war, did you find that the training you'd had was adequate for what you had to do? Had they taught you all the things
you needed
to do?
Oh yes, more or less, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. I mean, you obviously learned things as you went along,
didn't
you?
Oh, of course, yeah. Oh, yes, yes, you did, yeah.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
And I finished up then, we moved from from, we moved down into Göttingen, then from Rittmersheim into the town itself. And I was very lucky in one respect. I was lucky in lots of respects. So I was, had a lot of these young lads coming out from England, and they were doing training, and they wanted us to go with them. And the Irishman said to me, "Come and be my batman." He said, "Don't go out that lot of young ones." He said, "Look after my two children, take them to school, and bring them back home." So that's what I did. And then he asked me one night, because he knew I was engaged to my ex-wife. He said, "Would you come and look after the children some nights?" "Well, when the wife and I go out," I said, "of course we will." I said, "As long as you give me a pass to get back, you know, after midnight." He said, "I'll do that for you, because you know that." So that's what we used to do. And then one day, Captain Cole, rotten, he was a rotten officer, he said to me, "You go to the theatre. I've got a nice theatre in Göttingen, you see, where they had operas and operettas and things like that. And I used to go there." And he said, "I went to go down and get me some tickets for the opera one night." So he had to make me a passet. He said, "I can't go one night on my own, I should get stopped by the Red Caps." So he made me a passet, so I got a pass for night and day.
So you could go any way you liked, really.
More or less. So, I said, then we finished up in Berlin. Mm. And that was awful there. The whole place went in ruins, yeah.
Were you shocked by
it? We knew it had been heavily bombed, but, I mean, every city in Germany was bombed. Unless you actually saw it yourself, you couldn't even believe what it was like. It was dreadful.
What state were the civilians in there?
Well, we never had much to do with them, really. There was a nappy there. We used to go and sit and have a drink at night. I didn't bother to go out much at night anyway. I used to stay in the billet where we were. And we had a canteen there to get a drink. I did go out a few times, just out of curiosity, you know. One of my mates, he met a girl there and married her. So did I keep in touch with some of the lads? There's a photo up there at our last reunion. Not our last one, but one of the reunions.
Yeah.
And we're all still alive out of that bunch.
Really?
Yeah. The only tragedy is it's the first weekend in July, the reunions, and this year is going to be the last one because we're getting so few, it's going to be disbanded. Mm. And of course it clashes with the weekend I'm going to Manchester for our Italian lady, well, a Scots lady, having her MBE. We're going to Manchester to give her a party. So I still have to... Oh, she does all our work for us when we go on our reunions to Italy.
Right.
She organises all the trips for us, and so she's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I've got her the MBE this year for her work she's done for us.
Yeah. And she's clashing with the
Northampton, the chap who takes me to Northampton. He's coming up to Manchester as well. Yeah. He wasn't in the army, but he takes me to Northampton every year.
Yeah.
And then when I drive my own car, it's different.
Mm.
And I used to have a taxi, which cost me about £100 to go for the weekend.
Yeah.
I just had one of my mates there and his wife for the night.
Mm.
But he said, "Don't you ever do that again, I'll take you up there." So he always took me then from the night.
Oh, that's nice.
But of course, he's taken us to Manchester this time,
so
I shall have to miss the reunion. It's the last one. It's a pity, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But there we are. So that's the way life goes.
How do you think you coped with the noise? It sounds as though, you know, the noise of battle, that you actually coped with it.
Well, you could drive you mad. You got used to it, I suppose, eventually. Mm. I had a letter from, because my niece, my sister's daughter, they'd both got cancer, they're both dead now. She died when she was 44, my niece.
Mm.
But she used to take me to do my shopping when I moved down here and read my letters for me. And I had a letter come, one of the chaps at the reunion, he said, "You know, you can get compensation for being wounded." I said, "No, I didn't."
Mm.
And he said, "I've sent for it," because he was wounded twice in Sicily and in Italy, Eric.
Oh, right. Mm.
And... He phoned me up, he said, "I've got over £3,000, mate."
Mm.
So I rang up Blackpool, the number he gave me, and told them all my particulars. And they wanted to meet me in Birmingham. I said, "There's no way I can get to Birmingham," I said, "in my condition." I said, "Don't worry, we'll come to your flat."
Mm.
So an army medical officer came down.
And did you get compensation?
And he asked me, "You've got all my records there, I know all about you."
Really?
Yeah, I got £1,570.
Good, yeah.
And it was wounded twice, so he got double.
Yeah. So, did you ever see anyone go bomb happy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was that like?
Awful. Yeah. When I was on Mount Natale, waiting for the stretcher bearers, somebody went past us screaming his head off. Awful it was.
Mm.
And when we got to the first stop after the regiment laid, where we stopped for the first boat, Major Gibson, we already won. He was sat there shaking his, really? Couldn't control anything, and he already won the MC.
Really?
One too many, you see. One action too many. And that's what you're fighting against, not only the enemy, you're fighting yourself to keep going.
What did you think of the people that went bomb happy?
Well, you had to feel sorry for them. I mean, Spike Milling was a fine example, you see. He went shell-shocked, you see. He'd been wounded himself. But,
Did you ever see any cases of self-inflicted wounds?
No. We did have one lad, Private York, his name was. He got shot in both feet at exactly the same place. Right there.
Oh, yeah.
And we often wondered whether he did it himself.
What is it? Both injuries at the same time?
No, different times.
Oh, different times.
Different times, yeah.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, different times. I mean, exactly the same place on his foot.
Did he get into trouble for that?
No.
No?
No. He's never queried on anything. We queried it, whether it was self-inflicted or not.
You think you'd learn after the first time. Yeah. What did you think of the German soldiers as soldiers?
Well, they were good soldiers, weren't they? Yeah. They were good soldiers, no doubt about that. I'm just glad I didn't have to fight against the Japanese.
What about the American soldiers? Did you?
We got on very well with them. I was with the American fifth time when I got wounded, and so we got on very well with them. And they were with us in Germany, you see.
What did you think of them as soldiers?
Oh, they were good soldiers. I mean, the Rangers and all those. I mean, they took the brunt of the casualties at Casino anyway. That was because they were badly led. The two officers, I mean, General Mark Clark and Alexander, they were at loggerheads all the time. And bombing the town of Casino and the monastery was a disaster because it made the defensive position so much stronger. If they'd have kept it intact, whether the Germans were united, I don't rightly know. I wouldn't like to say. But to bomb it, then the defensive positions were made so much stronger. And of course, they bombed, flattened the town of Casino itself. And that was all rubble. That's the New Zealanders that tried to take the railway station. They got slaughtered, you know. But
did you ever have any contact with Russian soldiers when you were in Germany?
Yes, and on one occasion there was an old lady who wanted to cross into the Russian lines, and two of us went down to the Russians with her, and this chap said, "Hello, chaps, how are you? All right, I thought you were Russian." No, he said, "I was born in Lancashire." He said, "I was born in Liverpool."
Really?
Yeah, he said, "My mother married a Russian soldier, a Russian sailor." Sadly, I've lived in Russia all my life, but I haven't forgotten how to speak English. And I said, "Well, this lady wants to come across, any chance?" And he said, "Of course you can." So they took her over to, I hope they treated her, because she was elderly. As she said to me, "All the young girls can get over, can't they? They don't got to sleep with you, they'll get over all right." And that was true, I suppose. Yeah. But it was strange meeting this chappy over there. And then, of course, some of his mates came, and we stopped chatting away there about the war and this, that, and the other. And that was the only contact
so
I had.
Had a very different experience to you.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. So, that was the only contact I had with the Russians.
Because they had quite a reputation, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, you couldn't blame them. The way the Germans treated their people, you couldn't really blame them for doing what they did. I like to think the British soldiers behaved themselves properly when the war ended. Okay, we chased the girls. That's only a natural thing to do. But not to rape them like the Russians did. And
What was the attitude of the German civilians towards you after
the war? Well, I don't know. I suppose at first, of course, we couldn't, not supposed to have contact with them, but we did. But
were they quite friendly, or did they see you as in
Germany? No, they were quite friendly, actually, because I got to know quite a lot of them, being with my wife, you see, my ex-wife. And so they seemed to be quite... I know her grandmother didn't approve of me. I appreciate that fact. She used to stare at me as I was a criminal. And of course, I couldn't converse with them at all anyway, so I couldn't speak the language. I had to do it through my ex, because she spoke fluent English.
Yes.
And
so you were demobbed in June 47.
Yes.
You put that off a bit, had you? And because you wanted to stay in Germany.
Well, I wanted to arrange a marriage, but I didn't go through the army, you see.
So what was your demob procedure like?
Pretty good. I've still got my demob book anyway.
Yeah.
I got demobbed at Hull, actually.
Uh-huh.
Had a civilian suit and Trilby hat and shoes and socks and a coat. And I was then a civilian.
Yeah. So you came back to Welford, wasn't it?
Yes, I went to Welford, yeah.
And how easy was it to settle down?
When I was in Germany, I had a 6 weeks leave. You could either have 14 days leave and stay in England, or 6 weeks leave and go back to Germany. Well, I wanted to go back to Germany, so I had 6 weeks leave. So I went to my boss and I started work again as a decorator, you see.
Yeah.
And I'd also went to a trade school in Nuremberg, which they'd opened up for building work at, and spent a month there refreshing your trade, you know.
Yeah.
Getting used to things again. So in that respect, I suppose I settled in quite well.
Mm-hmm. Did you consider living in Germany?
Oh, no. No.
Why was that? Because you could have done, I suppose.
I could have done, yes, because my ex-wife's parents... her auntie got a big farm and a pub in a village estate, so I'd got to go. But no, that didn't appeal to me.
Was it easy to settle down, though? Because you've done so much time, you know, travelling and being in different places.
Well, it was like being in... You had to settle down.
Mm.
I didn't find it too difficult. As I did have that 6 weeks working during my leave.
Yes. Did you ever have nightmares?
No. The only thing that did happen to me, and I went to have a toothache. This would be about 1952, I suppose. And it was down in Union Street at Mr. Whiteley's. And I got an abscess and they gave me gas, which I never had before. Mm. And when I came round, I was on the floor. Mm. They put a thing round to strap me in the seat. Yet I finished up on the floor. Mm. And he said, "Cut," he said, "you had a rough time. Do you know, I lived through every second of that night that I was wounded."
Really?
Every second of that night I went through.
Mm.
And I mentioned that to my son-in-law, and they're divorced now anyway, so, Margaret. And he said, "That's been playing on your mind all this time," he said, "and now you won't think of it. It'll never happen again, and it never has." Mm. I think of it, obviously, you can't forget nights like that. But that night, I lived through every night.
Mm.
Amazing it was.
What, while you were in the dentist's chair?
Yeah, while I was in the chair, that's why I finished up on the floor struggling, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because of the dentist and the anaesthetist, he was there as well.
Yes, yeah, amazing. So, do you have any physical effects remaining now from your war?
No.
Because you've lost your sight now, haven't you?
That was a clumsy operation.
Was it?
When I went in, I was still driving my car. I had to retire at 65 from the firm.
Yeah.
But I got stacks of work after for various people that I knew.
Mm.
And I could still do that. And then I went on an operation and I came out and I couldn't see.
Was that cataract or...?
A glaucoma, the first one.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And I went down to my daughter's in Colchester for 6 weeks because you're not supposed to lift or...
Mm.
When I came back to Stratford, I went to the hospital to have a check. And the girl took me in the room to read the numbers, which of course I couldn't see the damn things properly. And Mr. Al Muktas, Mr. Brain did the operation, he was the top one there. And Mr. Al Muktas said, "Why can't you see?" I said, "You tell me why I can't see."
Mm.
And he put me behind this thing. "Good God, I've never seen such a botched up job in all my life."
Mm.
He said, "Can I fetch my colleague to look?" I said, "Of course you can."
Mm.
And he said the same.
Mm.
So that was that.
Compensation for that?
No. Well, they did ask me, and very few people know this, I'll tell you. When I got this flat, I mean, I'd see it was empty when I used to come down to the Legion from the other place, and they sent for me at the council office up the road, and they said, "There's a flat down there if you'd like it." And I said, "Do you want to have a look, sit and talk it over with your daughter and see what they say?" I said, "I love it, I don't need to look. I've already looked at it, I'll take it." So I've only been here about a month, and I was paying the rent and everything. And they sent for me. And they said, are you thinking of suing the hospital? I hadn't given it a thought, actually. I said, oh, yes, I had given it a thought, actually. I told a lie. And there was cups of tea. They sure thought, I'm going to be the next mayor of Stratford. They said, I'm afraid not. I said, good. And they said, we've got a better offer to make. If you sue the hospital, it'll cost you money, which I did if you've got. I said, no, I haven't. You've got to prove it's negligent, which is again very difficult, as he's a top man in the hospital, which is again very difficult. So we'll make an offer for you. You can live here rent free and council tax free as long as you live. So that's what I'm doing.
Right.
So that's the compensation I've got.
Yeah, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think your army career actually taught you? What did you learn?
Taught me things about myself that I would never thought I could have done. Oh, shooting at people for one thing.
Yeah.
Whether you hit them or not is another matter, but you shoot at them. I mean, people in an airplane, they drop a bomb, they don't know who they've killed, they don't see anything. But when you're actually firing at somebody, okay, it happens rarely, but it did happen. It made you realise you were a better man than you thought you were to do the things. It made you realise you could mix with other people from all walks of life and get on together all right. I mean, discipline, we had discipline anyway. We had discipline at school, we had discipline in the home, so the discipline didn't come hard.
Yeah.
You'd already got that, which I haven't got today. I mean, I was spanked at least twice a week at school and caned at least twice a week at school, so but it didn't bother me. I mean, I refused to have it on my hands because that's playing the piano, the trumpet, the cornet, and the violin. I wouldn't have my hands now, so I always caned on the bottom. Which didn't bother me and Julie. And no, it made you realise you're a better man than you thought you were. I've always said I wouldn't have missed it for anything, but my God, I'd never do it again.
Yeah.
And I was still on the reserve when the Korean War started, and of course they were calling lads up to go to Korea.
Yeah.
And I hadn't started a family, and I was married. But I said to my wife and my if I get called up, I'll go to prison first. Never again will I go through that. Never. But I say I wouldn't have missed it for anything.
Yeah. Are there any other stories that you tell at your reunions or events you remember that you haven't covered today?
No, so I took part in an awful lot of sport. I finished my last race a few days before I got involved running in the Olympic Stadium in Berlin.
Really?
Of course, it's different now, it's all been rebuilt, I think.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. I played against some very fine professional footballers and with from this country.
Yeah. Did you do any football after the war?
Oh yes, I was captain of the local team. Then I played for Talpiam. I played before I went in there. I was Binton football. From then I moved to Badgley Rangers. They were in the Worcester League.
Right, so you kept that up.
And then I played then for Stratford Men's Social Club for 2 years after that. And I packed up when I was about 1955, that's right.
Yeah.
I packed up.
Okay, lovely. Well, it's been a very interesting time.
Yeah, good.
And I'll just say, you're at Edgington, end of Reel 3.